Let us pray together.
Almighty, eternal God, grant now that the words of my mouth and indeed the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to speak to you briefly today about the acts and actions of worship before we turn our attention to the singing. Now, to be sure, I hope that you come to church in the expectation that you will find something that nourishes your faith life when you're here. I flatter myself that it is occasionally the sermon, but I am fully aware that not every sermon connects with every member every Sunday. So sometimes it may be the scriptures that provide you with a moment of inspiration. The 23rd Psalm doesn't need exposition to remind me of the deep promises of faith that I've relied on through the years, through my life in times of sorrow and challenge. Maybe that is true for you as well. Perhaps sometimes it is a hymn that we sing together. A friend of mine recently confessed to me that he can't sing the hymn Amazing Grace without being moved to tears. On Easter Sunday, I sat in nearly dumbfounded silence when Megan and Mark finished their voice trumpet duet. I was almost mad at Walter for starting the doxology, and then was gobsmacked when the choir moved right on into the Brahms right after that. Sometimes, perhaps it is even the words of the prayers that shoot like an arrow into our hearts to bring God's word to us and to give us inspiration and nourish and sustain us. So I hope you come here expecting to be moved. I remember a number of years back when my cousin, herself a lifelong church member and churchgoer, was speaking about what it took to get her out of bed on Sunday morning to actually physically get to church. I quote her directly, "If I'm going to get out of bed, put on my makeup and my best pantsuit, I need to know that I'm going to hear something inspirational." But did you know that the fundamental act of worship is not coming to find inspiration? The word that we use to describe what we do here on Sundays derives from an old English word, and what it means is to ascribe worth. We're actually coming here primarily to say something about God, about who God is. We are coming specifically to say something about the worth of God, about God's worthiness to be praised. Perhaps that's the reason why Psalm 148 is so unabashedly praise-oriented, because the people of Israel needed to be reminded, given the words to say that God isn't like us, only bigger and better, but is fundamentally, completely worthy of our adoration. When congregations sing, we are essentially praying. We are praying songs of adoration, which is praise, or we are praying songs of supplication, which is asking God's grace in our lives and in the lives of others. And the hymns are sung not just because we like the tunes, though I do like a lot of them, and I know you do too. And the hymns are sung not just because they speak words to us, which they do, but because they say something fundamental about who we believe God is. Our hymns are sung because they are addressed to God. Which, incidentally, is worth considering if you're one of our members who stands there stone-faced holding a hymnal while the congregation sings around you. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that if your audience is the Lord of the universe, whom we believe created everything out of nothing, I'm not sure that not singing is a gamble that I would risk. But hey, it's your choice. I've been preaching for years now about a God of grace, and the gamble you're taking is that I'm right. But on the off chance that I'm wrong, and we do worship a vengeful God, might be worth thinking about. You could pray during that time. It'd probably be a very good use of your time. When we sing, we praise God. When we sing, we say something about God. When we sing, we are engaged in the act of worship. And God delights in our praise. So let us sing together.